We've been on a series called Overflow, and it's a word that came to me some months ago. I just wanted our church to be in overflow. I wanted to be thinking about overflow. As a church, we should be flowing with goodness into our society. We should be flowing with goodness into our community. As individuals, I want us to be overflowing, and I want that because I believe God wants that for you. Overflowing financially, dare I say, without using that dangerous word prosperity, which is in the Bible, believing that God wants you to prosper so that you can prosper your town, your nation, your people you support in compassion, and people in India that some of us support. We were talking about that with Paul yesterday, and all sorts of things. God wants you to be rich enough to bless other people. He wants to know he can trust you with more finance so that you can help other people. But just in general life, just to live a life of overflow is a great witness, to be able to say to people, why have you got this hope that you've got inside of you? To be able to have an answer, and well, actually, I'm just overflowing with hope because of what Jesus has done for me. So we started, could you just go back to the title slide? Sorry, Andy, way too fast for me. I haven't actually started yet. Oh, it's not Andy, that's his fault. That's right, okay. We started by looking at God's generosity. We actually used the 23rd Psalm and looked at all the things God does to us as a shepherd, or does for us as a shepherd, and saw God's generosity in that. And we linked that with Jesus saying in John 9 that he is the good shepherd. And in that same passage, that's where we find that, John 10, where we find that bit that so many of us like to quote, where Jesus says, I've come that they might have life, but the they is the sheep. I've come that they might have life, and life to the full, or abundant life. So we started our foundation thinking about God's generosity. Then last week we were thinking about and listening to an idea of financial freedom. And to be fully financially free is to submit everything to God, to say to God, everything I own, whether I'm rich or poor, whether I'm going through a valley or I'm on a financial mountaintop, it's all yours anyway. Show me what to do with what I have. And so today, I wanted to talk to us about a generous lifestyle, but just stay on that slide for a little while. Some people think it's quite romantic that when Andrew and I walk down the street holding hands, I hold her hand to keep her out of the shops. Why did I say that? I don't know. Just felt like it was important. But I want to be a more generous person, and I want to be able to spend more. It's amazing that Andrew's peripheral vision, walking down Middle Street Friday, and I was heading for a coffee shop, and she saw something out of a corner of her eye, and it was so small in the shop window. We were crossing the street, and she was there just finding things for the house and making it a place of overflow. It's a good thing. And I do want to be more generous, but there's something about me that's tight-fisted sometimes, and I think it's a human thing that's in all of us, that it's perhaps a basic survival mechanism to want to make sure the cave's got things in it, that there's stuff in the store, and not want to be open-handed. But I've grown up being surrounded by generous people. My parents have been exceedingly generous throughout my life, not just while I was a kid. My grandparents, exceedingly generous. My sisters, who are both older than me, very generous. Even now, you know, they don't come without to our house without something to offer, whether it's a bag of old clothes that my nephews have finished with, that actually I end up wearing, not my kids, because they're big nephews. And oh gosh, they're yesteryear's fashion. And I'm like, no, that's cool, I'll wear that. Some of the shirts I wear on a Sunday used to be my nephew's. But they've always got something to bring, something to give. I'm surrounded by generous people. Andrea's mum, who was here last Sunday and the Sunday before, exceedingly generous. I discovered it before I was even married to her, to Andrea. I've never been married to her mum, that's weird. I got given this. I used to be a member of the CMA, the Christian Motorcyclists Association. I had a bike, but before I had a bike, I was between bikes and I was a Bible college student, somebody gave me a motorbike that didn't work. It was really generous of them. And it ended up in Andrea's mum's shed. And during a half-term break, I'd go up and try and fix it, which I've since learned I can't fix anything. But I knew there was a part that I wanted, and she just, I was just talking about it, and she just started giving me money, is for that part that you need. And you'd just go around to her house on a Sunday, and there'd be people crowded in, family people, and she'd be cooking everyone a chicken dinner, and just, we'd all be sitting around jammed up in her front room with trays on our laps, just with chicken dinners that she'd magicked up from the kitchen. I've been surrounded by generous people, and in that context, you'd think I'd just contagiously be generous, but you know what, you can end up being quite a bit of a taker in that context, can't you? Because it's just all there for you, and you just get into a mode of taking. And I've got to discipline myself to be generous, because the Bible is all about generosity. We've seen God's generosity already. We know how generous God is to us. And just the very fact that we have breath is God's generosity. What Dave was talking about when we were worshiping, the very fact that God sees us as dressed in robes of white, rather than the filthy rags that we deserve, is God's generosity to us. So sometimes we do find it difficult, and I just wonder to be generous, and I just wonder if God was to have a face-to-face meeting with you, a one-to-one with you, and go through not your diary, but go through the timesheets of your life, because the diary doesn't always, I know in my life, my diary doesn't always match what really happens, because I underestimate the amount of time a task will take or whatever. But if God was to sit down with you and look at the timesheet of your life, Would he say you've been generous with your time? Would you be pleased with the amount of time you've spent staring at a screen? Would you be pleased? Would you be comfortable sitting with God going through those timesheets? So I'm talking about generosity of time, generosity of deeds, generosity with smiles. But also, if then that meeting with God were to take a more awkward turn, and he was to look at your bank statements and go through those with you, would that be an awkward moment with God? Or would it be you'd see all those standing orders going out to worthy causes? Or maybe not even a bank statement, because you deal with cash, but he was just to go through. He says, do you know what? I've got a log here of all of your spending. Would you be comfortable with that? Would you start sweating? Would you start squirming in your seat? Would you be like, oh, cool, let's sit together and see what I've been doing, and maybe you've got some suggestions for me, God. Why is God interested in generosity? Why is God bothered about us being generous? Well, I kind of thought about what it would be like to be God and have a bird's eye view of humanity. And if you were God, if you were able to have that bird's eye view of humanity, would you be able to just imagine with me for a moment, just looking at all of the humans and saying to yourself, well, I'll tell you what, we could either have a race of isolated individuals who just act for themselves, or an interconnected family that acts for one another. That's what generosity is. That's why God's so bothered, because God is love, and generosity is one way of expressing love. And I was going to say no more happier, but God's just really well pleased when he sees his children, his creation, acting generously towards one another, acting open-handedly, sharing with one another. So I just want to go through a few scriptures, mostly Proverbs, that talk about generosity, share a few thoughts, and then hopefully we'll all be encouraged just to get before God. So let's have a look at that first one, Dave. You're allowed to move on now. Thank you. So in Proverbs 11:25, the reference is right at the bottom there. Proverbs 11:25, it says, "The generous will prosper." Now, I knew that that's the New Living Translation. It says pretty much the same in the NIV, but I knew that in the King James Version it says the generous soul will prosper. And I like the idea of delving deeper about not just thinking about the generous person, but whittling it down to the idea of a generous soul. So I'm not a Hebrew scholar at all, but I know how to Google, and I know how to Google a text reference, and then just put the word Hebrew afterwards, and then you go onto a site called Bible Hub, and it tells you some Hebrew things. And the Hebrew is well, easily translated as the liberal soul. So someone whose soul is liberal. And some people like to think about the soul as the mind, okay, the mind. So you've got a mindset that is liberal, a mindset that is generous. The generous mindset will prosper. Some people like to think of the soul as the will, the choosing part of you. So someone who makes generous choices, well, that's linked to the mind, isn't it? You're thinking generously. There's almost a premeditated idea about generosity. And I think that's true for me. I'm not going to be automatically generous. Generosity isn't my default setting. It seems to be for some people, but whether that's just them or whether they've trained themselves, generosity isn't my default setting, but the generous mind, the generous will, someone who's willing themselves on to be generous. And other people think of the soul as the emotions, you know, that just kind of, actually, I think these things follow in order that I've just talked about them. If you set your mind on being generous and then you make generous decisions, then there's something about your feelings kind of follow. Don't wait for the feelings. Usually the feelings follow the actions with good deeds. And so the generous soul prospers. Your soul will prosper. If you think about the opposite, is it would be the stingy soul doesn't prosper. That means your mindset is shrinking back and holding on to things tightly and not being willing to share. That's that mindset, that those feelings of just being stingy. You don't prosper according to this proverb. But the second half of the proverb says, those who refresh others themselves will be refreshed. So this is how you will be refreshed. Sometimes we feel like we need refreshing, don't we? Well, I would suggest that you refresh others in the area that you feel like you need refreshing. It's counterintuitive, but there's one way we can be generous. Thinking about, on the next slide, thinking about the idea of the generous mind, there's another proverb, in fact it's in Isaiah 32 verse 8. Isaiah says, generous people plan to do what is generous. So while I was on the Hebrew Google train, I stopped off at the platform of this, I don't know what I'm talking about, of this verse, and that word, I looked at that word plan, and it another word is to scheme. They just scheme generosity. Schemes sound almost a bit sinister or wrong, don't they? But the generous person sits down and thinks, right, how can I be generous? How can I scheme to be generous? How can I plan to be generous? And then it goes on to say that those sort of people stand firm in their generosity. And that's not just a sense of, I'm going to dig my heels in and be generous, but it's actually their generosity caused them to stand in good stead. Because they've been generous, they're standing firm. They stand firm because of their generosity, because they schemed to be generous. It's difficult though, isn't it? So we set our minds on it. Now, if you are just thinking about money and you're thinking, well, I haven't got much money and it's not very easy for me to be generous, there's, as I said at the beginning, there are different ways to be generous. And there's another couple of Proverbs. In fact, I think they're both in Proverbs 10. Sorry, 22. No, I've just forgotten about a verse because I didn't look at any notes. Before we move on to what I was about to say, blessed are those who... You're all right there. Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Again, the King James and the New King James talks about having a generous eye. And Paul talked about, before I got up, he talked about what we've got to think about what we see, what are we looking at. So we've talked about a generous soul or a liberal soul. We've talked about that could mean the mind, the will, the emotions, and putting all of those into being generous. We talked about scheming to be generous. And then I just wanted to finish that little section that I forgot about and tried to move on. But this idea about having a generous eye, a bountiful eye, because they feed the poor. They're just looking for opportunities. What are you looking for? What are you looking to do with your finance? But then again, I was going to say, it's not just about finance, is it? And now you can move on. We were going to talk next about just using words to be generous. If you're skint, just be generous with some words, okay? you can just encourage somebody else. You know, we were at a, I'm going to encourage you now. We were at a regional conference yesterday. By we, I mean Joe and Vez, myself and Paul, all went to Torquay, but it was an area conference. So we're part of a movement called the Assemblies of God, and we're split into areas, and the West area runs from Southampton all the way up to Bristol and then across to all of Cornwall. So it was a West area day, and Riviera Life Church, if you've been there, it was absolutely jam-packed full of ministers and teams and people like that from our movement. And a couple of people came up to me, and they came to me intentionally. I didn't bump into them. They came to me. And in both cases, they say, I visited your church recently, and I just wanted to thank you for the warm welcome that I felt on the door and the coffee. And one of them said, one of them's called Phil. He's a minister of church in Bristol, and he came down here. He was on holiday, and he almost felt uncomfortable saying it, but he said, because the welcome, actually, sometimes it's more important than the preach. It's true, though, isn't it? It's true. So thank you, because two people came to me deliberately to say it. So that was one of them, and another guy was one of Ben's friends who is working with the Evangelical Alliance and full-time now, but he lives in Notting Hill, and he was part of a church there as well. And he's also been heading up a national worship project for Assemblies of God, and he was visiting a few weeks ago, and he came up to me and Andrew and said, you know, I just wanted you to know that I just felt such a great welcome. And do you know, those words just breathed life into me, because I was there representing all of you, because I don't welcome everybody. I'm trying to mingle and talk to people at the end, but I don't do a great welcome because I can't be. It wasn't me he was thanking, it was everybody here. And I don't know, I just felt really cool about that. Generous words. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. On the next slide, it says again, the words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by lack of common sense. But while we're thinking about words, and it is Proverbs 10 that talks a lot about words and the words we use, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. These are the blessings of the Lord. So we can be generous with our words. We can be generous with our finance if we're able. We can be generous with good deeds. We can be generous in what we do. In fact, last week we saw how Timothy's told to tell the rich people to be rich in good deeds. There's lots of ways we can be generous. But just in case you thought you were off the hook financially, I did want to remind you of some verses that I shared earlier this year. In 1 Corinthians, if you can go to the next slide, and 2 Corinthians 8. So this church in Macedonia were skint, they were poor. And just read what Paul says. He's writing to the Corinthians who have got money, and he's sort of championing the generosity of the Macedonian churches who haven't got any money at all. And it says, now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia, i.e. he's not done this through you yet. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it's a cliche, money can't buy happiness, but there it is, a testimony in the life of the Macedonian churches. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. It's just so counterintuitive, isn't it, the way God works through people. It reminds me of that story of the widow who Jesus was observing with his disciples, who just gave in a few copper coins, and Jesus said she gave more into the temple offering than those rich guys who demonstrated what they gave. You can give just as the Lord leads you. Some people say to give until it hurts. I don't always like that idea, but it depends how much it hurts, and it depends if it's hurting your family. But it's just a little thing of, am I giving as much as God wants me to give? Just going back to that imaginary meeting with God, and you're going through his log of your spending. How comfortable are you with that? So let's just summarize and look at a few more verses before I stop. So where can I start? I can start with words. That's good. I can start with words. If I want to go on this track of generosity, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with words, because there's no financial outlay. In fact, why don't you just find someone right now and say something nice to him? If you don't want to do it, just sit and receive someone saying, right now, you've got 30 seconds, turn to someone. If it's like, you've got nice hair, I like your glasses, or you're a great encouragement to my children, say something nice to someone, 30 seconds now. So just as you had to think then about how I'm going to say something nice, I want you to think now about something you can do for somebody this week, even today, but maybe just this week. Think of a person. So I'm working through this short list on the screen. We talked about words. You've done something. You've started to practice that. Now I'm asking you just to think. What can you do for somebody that you wouldn't ordinarily do, but might just encourage them? It's just practicing generosity. Okay. But of course, there is the old chestnut, financial giving. This isn't appeal. This isn't me asking for money for a building project. I just want us to be a church of generous people, giving out. So maybe the Lord wants to speak to you about that. You know, the Bible gives us that guideline of giving 10% of our income. And if you're starting to ask, well, is that before tax or after tax? Well, for some of you, 5% would be a change. I don't know that because I know your finances. I just know statistically. I saw a statistic on the internet the other day that said there's a calculation about churches that, looking at what comes into churches and looking at the demographic and just doing some guesswork, it looks like most people give around 4% of their income. So there's some people in churches not giving 10%. That's between you and God. Honestly, this is not an appeal. I'm just talking about some stuff. And I reckon if you're struggling to, if 10% is too much for you, you just can't handle that, well, just aim at 5. Just at least start. And maybe, you know, people who start giving 10%, they get there, that some of them just feel like, this is great, I'm enjoying this. This is going to great causes. Next year I'm gonna aim for 11%. It doesn't sound like much, does it? But it's something going on in the heart, and it's almost purifying the rest of your money, because you feel like, yeah, this is my way of, me and God, we're sorting this greed thing out. Okay, so last few verses. So Jesus promises, and God promises prosperity to those who are generous, but that's not why we do it, is it? But the final proverb in Proverbs 11 says, give freely and become more wealthy. There it is. In fact, the Message version says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. In this version, it says, be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Again, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So if we're going to be wealthy, if we're going to be prosperous, if we're going to be blessed by God, what might those blessings look like? Well, let's just have a quick look in Deuteronomy and see what God says when he starts thinking about blessing people. And this is my prayer for our church. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do, Brixham Community Church. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. That's my prayer for this church, that we're submitted to him, that we're obeying his will, and that he wants to bless us abundantly.